Good morning to everyone. As you know, there is a box in the back called Q&A box, and we have got several different questions in so far, and so this is a shameless plug. If you've got questions about the Bible, please submit those, and we'll work through those as best as we can throughout this year and into whatever the Lord gives us. This question that we're going to work on this morning actually came from one of our young people, and that is about a particular character in the Bible that Jesus calls the devil. That word devil means slanderer or accuser. Jesus will say in John 8, he's a liar and the father of lies. Sometimes he's called Satan, the adversary, and kind of the adversary with a capital A, or the opponent. And then in Revelation 12, it says he's the serpent that was from the garden, from old. But what do we really know about this? Where does the devil come from? What's your answer for that? Where does he come from? I decided to be a dad this morning, and I said, where do you think he comes from? Denver. I was really hoping he'd say California, because we were just there. But Denver surprised me. He's a very spiritually minded young man, and he said, Egypt. So if he didn't know, he doesn't realize how close he was in that. There's quite a bit of symbolism about that. Well, what do we know about where the devil comes from? If you Googled it or YouTube, where's the devil come from? You would see thousands of videos with lots of views of all kinds of interesting, fanatical theories and some exciting stuff. And they would bring out the Bible passages about what they believe is where the devil comes from. So I'm going to talk about first, what do we not know? Here's some misconceptions. Some misconceptions, one from Isaiah 14. So I have it up here on the screen. You're welcome to follow in your Bible. Isaiah 14, verse 12 says, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you're cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation. On the farthest sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I'll be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. You know, that word Lucifer sounds really scary. And in fact, a lot of people think that's like the devil's name or nickname. The word Lucifer, maybe your version, New American Standard, just calls it the star of the morning. It means a morning star. And we're told, you know what, this is definitely about the devil. Think about it. He wants to be like God. He's kind of going up into the heavens, and God throws him out of heaven, and there's this big, it's definitely about the devil. However, in Isaiah 14, 4, we're told this is about the judgment of the king of Babylon, not about the devil. Another one, Ezekiel 28, 13 through 17. You are in Eden. Oh, definitely talking about the devil. The garden of God, every precious stone was your covering, the sardis, the topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God. And I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the firing stones. Your heart was lifted up because your beauty, You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. Wow, this is definitely the devil. We got Eden. We got he was in God's mountain. Then God cast him out. And, you know, the story's told. He's this beautiful angel. And he's got all these stones. And he looks really good. And God throws him out of heaven. However, in the context, Ezekiel 28, verse 12, this is talking about the king of Tyre. This is poetic judgment language about how the king of Tyre thought he was really something, and God threw him out and humbled him. Those two passages, by the way, are the most popular passages that you'll find about this topic on any YouTube or Google that you look at. Another one someone might loop in here, even Jesus says it, right? And he, Jesus, said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Luke 10, 18. But what's the context? Sounds like when the devil left heaven, but actually, that was when the 70 were out preaching and casting out demons in God's name, in the Lord's name. And Jesus responds and says, yeah, I saw the devil fall like heaven. Or fall like lightning from heaven. You know, perhaps, before we answer this question, perhaps this is just a lesson in and of itself. We have to be careful about the context of where we pull things. So what we do know. I love the passage, Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us. And to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. You know, you're not going to find a verse in the Bible that says, this is where the devil comes from. Blank. We had to make a series of deductions to draw a conclusion about where he comes from. And so I'm going to hope to do that now. There's one passage I could just throw up there and we'd be done. Sit down. However, I want us to think through this. This is part of the reason why Q&A is so valuable. It's not just about, here's an answer. It's about, how do we think through this logically? So I'm going to take a little detour for a second. We read just a second ago a word. What do you know about cherubim? Cherubim. We even have them in our songs sometimes. Cherubim, like the devil, they just show up. In the Bible, Genesis 3, verse 24, remember God sets cherubim with a sword of flame to guard the garden, right? They can't come back in with these cherubim there. And that's it. That's all it says. And you're like, well, what was that, right? Well, then later we see that they're part of the decorum in the tabernacle, especially on the veil separating God and man, kind of a guarding there. Then Ezekiel, chapter 1, verse 5 and chapter 10, so chapter 1, he sees this incredible image of basically God on a chariot throne that is roaming across Babylon in the sky with what he sees, and he calls them living creatures. They have different features like animals. Later in chapter 10, he talks about the same creatures, and he calls them cherubim. Ah, okay. Now I get a little bit better idea. Ezekiel calls them living creatures. Your version might say in Ezekiel 1:5, living beings. Beings that are living. That's a generic term. Think about it. These beings that have been created and given life by God is the idea. This podium is not a living being. We see these same living creatures all the way at the end in Revelation 4, around the throne. And so there are these higher beings than humans that are around the throne, but they, like us, they're living. So are these cherubim angels? Well, what's the word angels? What does the word angels mean? It just means messenger. It's a messenger from God. The Bible never calls cherubim angels. So here's a simple plea I have for you and for me. The simple plea is, let's be careful to describe whatever we're talking about the way that the Bible describes this subject. let's be careful about the things we know the Bible says and things it doesn't say. We can at least conclude this, that if an angel has life, it does, he or whatever moves around and is living, God has animated them, they're at least a living being, a living creature in that way. But more detail is given about angels specifically. They have these names, they have these personalities, they have these ranks, it seems. Michael's called an archangel. There's such a thing as a strong angel in Revelation 10. So who made angels? Who made cherubim? Did they just show up? Poof, here they are. Or are they, maybe they're self-existent beings like God? Do you agree with that? What would disagree with that? Are they self-existing beings? Only God is everlasting from everlasting. He is the one who was and is and always will be, the first and the last. But anything with life, God has made. Anything with life, God has made. God made all things. So you're going to see where we're going here. Colossians 1, look at that in your Bibles. It's a really important passage about this. And this is the one I said that we could just throw this up and be done. Colossians 1, verse 16. There we read, for by him, now that's Jesus in the context, for by him all things were created. Now are we talking about like plants and animals? No, Paul clarifies that, doesn't he? Both in the heavens and on earth, visible, that's the plants and animals, and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. So who was it that made all things? Jesus, therefore God. So who made the cherubim? God. The living creatures, God. God also made angels. So then, who made the devil? God. Now, we got a problem with that, don't we? Is there an issue with that? Thinking, just stating that. You just go up to someone in the street and say, you know what? I learned today at church, God made the devil. Is there an issue with that? I think there is. We got to think about that. Why would God make an evil being? How does that work? God made all things. Devil's a part of all things. So God did make the devil, but why would he make an evil being? The scriptures do not say that God made an evil being. You gotta be clear about that. The scriptures do not say that. God makes things what? Always. Good. He makes things good. And we learn in Jude 6, if you wanna write that down, I don't have it up on the screen, but Jude 6, we learn that angels, those other beings that we talked a little bit about, some of them decided to rebel against God and left their place of authority, where God had set for them. They left their place. And so if angels have free will and can choose to rebel, and we know that God does not make evil, then what is the conclusion we have to draw then? Then the devil has done the same thing. Not that the devil is an angel. The scriptures doesn't say that. It just doesn't. But that the devil has done that same thing, and that he is not good as God would create. He is this living creature or being who has this free will, who's chosen this path. And here's the further evidence of the devil's choice to be evil. What makes God a just God is that he condemns only those who have a will to disobey him. And God condemns the devil a lot. Specifically, in Matthew 25, as kind of the end of all things, as Jesus would have it, as he is judging all nations, he's also going to judge the devil. Matthew 25, I have 41 there. And that's correct. Matthew 25:41. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you accursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Apparently he has some workers with him, workers for him, messengers is that word. And all of them are going to be cast into an eternal destruction or everlasting fire. So where did the devil come from in review? God. Why is he the way that he is? Not God, but choice. And due to his choices, he will be condemned and all angels with him. And there is much to be desired after that. But that's all we know. And the secret things belong to the Lord. And whatever he has been revealed, whatever has been revealed to us, we trust that that's enough. So thank you for that question. Fantastic question. We don't know a lot, but let me tell you what we must know. I'm going to just run through these. Here's what we must know about the devil. Number one, he's limited. Remember that passage we studied in Luke 4 where he says he's going to depart until a next opportune time? He's geographically located is what that means. He's not just always everywhere. He leaves and comes. Verse 2, even in Luke, would tell you he's limited. It says that the devil tempted Jesus. That's really not very smart. If you knew that he would never choose to disobey God. But he did. The devil did tempt Jesus. He is far from God's equal. There's just one passage that references that. He is not this, you know, yin and yang of God. The devil gathers, in Revelation 20, he gathers all these nations, and it's like this big picture that the devil's really going to try to whoop up on God's people, and God just ends him, throws him in the fire. Just boom, done. No big deal. There's no battle at all. He's seeking to devour people. He wants to take us away from the Lord. But then James 4 says, resist him and he'll flee from you. He's a coward, is the idea. He's not going to continue. He'll run from you. And why is that? Because Jesus, Paul, expects in Romans 16 that the devil will be crushed under the feet of the disciples, of Jesus' followers. So that is a guarantee. You're faithful to the Lord, you will crush the devil, Satan, under your feet. And I love Revelation 12, 10, and 11. We have no fear because we've already overcome him. Revelation 12, 10, 11, I'll leave with this. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down, and they overcame him, they Christians, overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. We don't know exactly all the details about why the devil is the way that he is, but we've been given a lot of information about how we can handle it and how God has conquered him as an easy enemy in the name of Jesus. Let's sing one more. We'll sing a song. Let's sing first verse of that.